The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This morning here on A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery, we'll tell you how to begin the process of recovery from any of life's hurts, hang-ups, or addictions. Remember, God has plans to give you hope and a future. Let's join in now to hear those whose purpose and mission is to inspire you to renew, rebuild, and restore your life through the road of Christ-Centered Recovery.
As we do every week, we'd like to thank all of our faithful listeners from Massachusetts, Southern New Hampshire, and Northern Rhode Island for joining us here this morning on A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery. I'm your host, John Broderick. Our special guests are no strangers to our studios here at WEZE Christian Radio, and they are certainly no strangers to many men and women seeking recovery, for which I am truly grateful for. Please welcome Rick Lawson and Mike Procopio to A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery. Welcome, Rick and Mike.
Yeah, thanks, John, for having us back. Appreciate it. It's been a while. I heard our last broadcast last week that we did about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought back some memories, encouraging memories, and memories of hope for the future.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been a lot that's changed in the past couple of years.
Mike, we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But as you both know, last week, we aired the very first show, as you just mentioned, Rick, that we did back together in, I believe it was March of 2013. And the reason we did that is we wanted to kind of set this up to show a before and after, if you will. We first learned back then about the great works that you were both doing for the Lord in Christian recovery circles and about the CAB program. Now, Rick, would you please open us up in prayer?
Sure. Father in heaven, we would thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for an opportunity this morning to open up these minds of questions that would come into people's minds about this work of recovery. And again, Father, we are so blessed to be able to have this work that God has opened this door. And Father, we thank thee that we continue to appreciate what he has done for us. And Father, again, we would ask thee that the words that would be spoken in this interview would come to light in other people's lives that would perhaps be hearing it. Again, Father, we do thank thee for thy Son and the Lord's precious and worthy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A lot has changed since then, and God has certainly opened up some doors for the both of you. Fill our listeners in on what some of those things are.
Well, as you know, I think you had given me a chance to tell you about the opportunity that opened up there with the women's group at the CAB Center. There's three groups there, the TSS group, which is the group that we've been speaking to the men there for almost 9 years this October. And development came in July of last year where an opportunity came where the director had spoken to me on the phone and he was telling us that there was an interest with the women's CAB group that they wanted to listen to what we had to say about the gospel. So we facilitated a time on a Wednesday night, and we've been going strong since about July 24th, I think, was the first meeting. So we'll be almost a year next month, and we're all excited about continuing there. We just actually had a meeting there this past Wednesday where we had a lot of interesting questions. We talked about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, so we're excited in so many ways because, we get to speak to these ladies because unlike the men's group where they go through the program quite rapidly within 4 or 5 weeks, that's about the length at the most we get to speak with these men, but the women are there for 6 months, so we get to develop a relationship with them, and
that's awesome.
Quite exciting.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's interesting to look back over the past couple of years and really and even beyond. And see God's timing and God's hand, because this new development with the women's work is something that we've been praying about since the very beginning. And
that's amazing.
It was a house that we wanted into, and we were basically saying, you know, why not? Why won't this door open? Why can't we get in here? And here finally, 9 years later, the door opens and opens in a really big way. And I think reflectively, I'm not sure we were ready for it. you know, even in our attitudes and even in our perceptions and what we were still learning and how God was changing us. I don't think we were ready for that yet. And really, even with that, since July, as Rick was mentioning, we've seen changes there. And this house that we're in with the women, the longer term house, is part of the same program. There's a men's house,
mm-hmm.
That's also long term that we were not in, and had no program for the men. And maybe about halfway through with the women's program, the administrators at the house basically said, you know, we want you to do it with the guys as well. Another thing that we'd been praying about and another door that we wanted to open.
Wow.
They're basically saying, look, we've seen changes even in the behavior of the women, and we think the guys are missing out.
Thank you, Jesus.
And yeah, absolutely. And that's something that's still developing. You know, the timing, you know, they've got such a complicated schedule and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's tough to jam another meeting in with them, another group. So, you know, we're working on that, and God's opening doors, and God's doing tremendous things.
You know, it's ironic, too, because I wonder what the disciples were wondering when Jesus called them and the doors that he opened for them. I wanted to ask you both, Rick and Mike, how important a role has the Word of God in your church played in molding the both of you for ministry and especially recovery ministry?
Well, the Word of God is number one. We can't do anything without the Word of God. You know, he's our guide. And as I tell the girls, I said, when I hold up the Bible, I say, you know, this is our directions from the very God of heaven. And we don't want to look at the directions because it's going to tell us what he wants us to do. And, mm-hmm. and we don't want him to have control over us. But, you know, most of the women and men, and I know we're talking about the women now, but, you know, they realize why they're in the predicament they're in is because they've listened to themselves and bad influences, and they've made wrong choices. They made wrong decisions. They've done things that they're not, you know, they're ashamed of. And yet they still, when they see the truth that we present every week, like I said, we were talking about God's power, and I spoke last week on the miracles of the Lord Jesus to prove his power. And I said, you know, it's not like a politician that you're, you know, going to elect for 4 years and, you know, and believe their lies and believe their promises and believe the truths that they will never meet, you know, as they promise you everything and give you nothing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is promising you eternal life. And the Word of God states that in so many ways. We like to work from the book of John because, you know, that main theme of believe is right there in the purpose of the book. It, you know, it says it in the end of the chapter, that the purpose of this book was written so that you may believe. So I gave them a list of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did, showing them that, you know, he's the guy that you want to love. He's the guy that you want to trust. He's the one that wants you to love
him
because he first loved you. And I tried to approach it on that level of understanding to see that this man was worth, you know, trusting and putting their life in his arms, you know, and they're still kind of apprehensive. They just, you know, and I posed the question, I think it was, you know, have you ever wanted anything so much that you'd do anything for, you know, and they're heroin addicts, most of them, and, you know, they'll do anything to get that heroin, but they don't want to do anything to get the Lord Jesus, you know, they're still apprehensive. Even though they'll trust a drug dealer with this stuff that they don't even know where it came from, but they're trusting their very lives. So, yes, the Word of God is the most important thing, and without that, we're just babbling. You know, we need that power from the Word of God.
Yeah, and you know, and Rick mentioned power, and that's what it's about, right? What do we know? It's the power of God unto salvation,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's where it is.
That's right.
Right? You know, one of the things that we're always impressed with, you know, at all of these groups is that they get so much talk. There's so much that, you know, that influences them, and there's so many different groups that they're a part of, right? You know, if there's one thing that's going to mark our meetings with them, it's going to be God's Word. We want them to understand that this is truth, this is real, this is power, this is what's going to change their life, right? They're not dealing with just a drug problem, and they're not dealing with alcohol problems. They're dealing with sin problems.
That's right.
And they're dealing with issues that they're not going to fix themselves. And yeah, they may give mental assent to that, but until they really understand that, and until they really get it, and the only way they're going to get it is through God's Word, then they're never going to see recovery. You know, understanding that, I think, has really shaped us and molded us. I mean, to get back to the real intent of the question, I think, you know, when we talk about in our church, I think that's something that churches struggle with, with, right? Is how do we train for this? How do we teach for this? How do we prepare people to go out and do this work? And there's some that are very good at that, but I think by and large we've missed that. And we're thankful that we can take God's word, we can pick up that sword, and we can go into that meeting confident that this has everything we need.
Amen. And Rick, as Rick knows, one of the things that we are and have been doing is equipping the church. And I want churches to hear this, especially pastors. Pastors don't need another thing to do. Their main focus should be and only be shepherding the sheep. I mean, that's what they're called to do. They don't need to be counselors. They don't need to be recovery leaders. And the beauty is, with the new ministry, this ministry that we're all here on, we help equip the church with Christ-centered recovery ministries where the pastor does not have to do anything but give a blessing, and we help train the leaders. So I want the churches to hear this, because it is so important that when we start bringing in secular ministries, as most churches do, and we have in our church, the alternative and the greater thing is that when Christ is in the center of your recovery, there's not sobriety, there could be victory. There's a big, big difference. And if you look at the numbers nationally, from secular recovery to Christian recovery, in Christian recovery, they're off the charts.
Staggering.
They're about 70% and a little bit higher compared to the national average of about anywhere between 6 and 12%, depending upon who you talk to. So you're right. And the church has the opportunity today to do this, and we're here to help in those efforts. Now, Rick and Mike, if you had to compare what your ministries were like back in 2013... fast forwarding to today, mid-2015, what has been the biggest difference and impact to the both of you ministering to the afflicted and addicted children of God in recovery?
Well, I just personally enjoy the ministry and the message that we bring to them. I get excited just thinking about the message that we have an opportunity. I think the miracle of blindness, the Lord Jesus Christ had many times in the Bible, would heal the blind. And we've had a couple of women in the past year that have truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think that is the biggest excitement that has come into my heart, is to see how God works in these lives. Because you can see that veil just being lifted up slowly in the next week. In the next week,
that's
it comes
awesome.
Off a little more.
That is so awesome.
And when they finally get it, they want to give back. And just to be part of that, to see God working, it's all His work, but the fact that He's letting us see this is truly a blessing. I just feel so blessed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really going along with what Rick was saying, I would say that the biggest difference, aside from starting a new work, a whole different outreach, the biggest impact has been tangible results. And really, what I mean is, we get results with the men, right? So God's word guarantees us results, right? It will not return void, right?
That's right.
He's going to bless it, right? Whether we see it or not, He's working in lives and He's going to bless it. The thing with the short-term house is we got these guys for 3-4 weeks and they're gone. So, we've got to trust that what we sow, God's going to bless. These men may trust Christ. Likely it's going to be down the road somewhere, and we're never going to see that until heaven, really. The thing with the women's house is it's 6 months. It's long term. We're building relationships. We've seen some of them trust Christ. We've seen their lives changed. We've seen their desires change. We've seen their behavior change. We've seen it spread really through the house, as attitudes change and stuff, and we're able to really get a handle on real results and a real God, right? Sometimes we get into this mode where it's very intellectual and we know that God's working, but it's kind of conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
And here you see it, right? It's very visible. It's very tangible. And that Rick's right. It's very encouraging, right? Sometimes you get discouraged and you think, hey, we're going there every week and we have the same meeting every week and they got the same questions every week and it's like they're not getting it. And then suddenly you're able to see them really get it. And, after a couple of months, you're seeing some of them get saved. You got 4 more months. I think sometimes we miss half of the equation, right? Go into the world, preach the gospel to all nations, make disciples, right? And with the short-term house, what we haven't been able to do is really disciple anyone because they're gone. And they may leave that house and end up in New Bedford, or they may leave that house and end up in Rhode Island, and we don't know where they are, right? They're certainly not local. Here, you've got an opportunity with these women to teach them to work with them, to see them grow, to see a foundation really develop, see them land someplace where they're going to continue to grow, continue to develop. You've got contacts, you've got real relationships, and it's just been huge, even from our perspective in terms of encouraging us and opening more doors for more of these opportunities.
And I think it's great, too, because the longer time that you have with an individual, you know, past 30 days, because I'm a firm believer that 30, 60, even 90 days doesn't cut it. I firmly believe that the longer you have, and a lot of the residential, Christian residential treatment centers that we'll be bringing forth through Recovery Fellowship, our sister ministry, they're usually anywhere between 6 months to a year and a half. And Jesus talks about we are not to walk alone. We are to walk in relationship. We need each other. And if you're gone in 30 days, it really is difficult to impact a person's life to the degree that we possibly could if there was a longer span of time.
Right. Yeah. At best, you're given that opportunity to expose them to the gospel.
Right.
And hope that it takes
Plant
root.
The seeds.
Right. Exactly. But this longer term, exactly. You're able to build real relationships. And we've seen, you know, one of the things that's great is the girls that have graduated, we see them, for the most part, by and large, maintain those relationships.
That's incredible.
Right? So now they're out. Now they've got cell phones, but they're able to text, and they're able to keep in touch, and they're able to, you know, maybe make it out to some church meetings, right? You know, it's different for everyone, but they're not lost. They're not gone. They didn't just fall off the map where we don't hear from them and wonder whatever happened, you know?
And this would be a great time to bring in this question. When girls and men come to you, what are their circumstances so our listeners can know? Because we have so many people that struggle with things right across the board, as you know, Rick, and they don't feel like there's any hope. They don't feel like anybody can help them because they continue in their cycle of addiction. What are some of the people that come to you, men and women, what are some of their circumstances?
Well, first of all, they have no idea who God is, and that's the question that never seems to get answered by anybody. So that first day with them, myself, we try to show them the Bible and to show them how to find a verse and show them what, you know, this verse is and where it is and how it sets up and what it's all about. And you can almost see the light going on. Wow, I never knew that about God. I never knew that. You know, they think this God is a God of a mystery and somebody that's, you know, I'm going to get you type of God. And what we all try to talk about, Mike and I and another gentleman, Joe James, we pretty much rotate through. And our basic theme is to bring that relationship that they don't even know about back into their understanding that God wants to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know God, really, is the question back. And they really do, but they don't know the way. And I think that's the way that we're trying to show them. They've lost a lot, you know, by using drugs and alcohol. You know, the things aren't working the way they should, and they just don't see that understanding because, you know, a lot of the times, because they're addicts, they've learned it from their parents, and that's the sad part.
Absolutely.
And I know Mike's had a brother in the situation, and it's totally different, and, you know, his life, you know, was changed.
You know, addictions and afflictions, Mike, as you know, and I know personally, and Rick knows, there are no boundaries, and there are no titles, and there are no authorities that addictions or the evil one will not cross. And I know we had spoken a little bit off the air how that's impacted you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, it does tie in nicely with your question about the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see people from every walk of life, every background. There's really no differentiating factors. You know, we're, you know, what I would call your typical middle class suburban family and, you know, Christian family. Church every Sunday, you know, every week, you know, once a week, you know, I mean, what you would think of as the safe family, right? Mm-hmm. My brother was a heroin addict, started using heroin in middle school, right? Heroin, cocaine, pills, everything you could think of, multiple overdoses, right? Now, he went through a Christ-centered recovery program. He actually went to a inpatient facility in Arizona, and he got clean. But you know, the girls that we see by and large, and the guys for that matter, you know, some of them were prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are heroin addicts. Some of them are alcoholics. Some of them are all of the above. And certainly all of them are broken. And when they come in there, perhaps the biggest message that we can give them is that God is a God of second chances.
Amen.
And God is a God that wants to change lives if they are willing to turn and come to him. Come unto me with your heavy burdens. I will give you rest. That's the God we want to present, right? And really, to see them get a hold of that is sometimes very visceral, right? I mean, we've had, I know Rick's been at some of the meetings where some of these girls have broken down in the middle of the meeting and unburdened themselves about things that other people in the program previously didn't even know about. And they were so touched by the concept, even the thought of a God who could forgive, a God who would change their life, a God who wants an abundant life for them and not a life of bondage to sin. And it's really amazing to watch them. Perhaps they don't realize everything. Perhaps they don't know Christ yet, but they have an understanding at least of a God who's interested in them and a God who can save them.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years, Rick, and we've been interacting for quite some time, I find that when someone, whether it be male or female, has an ugly circumstance, let's take prostitution as one, and they go through the process and they feel the dirtiness, the natural humanistic feelings of dirtiness, shame, and guilt. When they get to the point of understanding through brothers like the both of you that God really loves you regardless, they fall apart because they never could ever believe that because of their circumstances that they could be loved. And we look at the prodigal son as an example. And when we can get the love of God, because God is the essence of love, this is the whole message of God, and that's why he sent Christ, because he loved us. And when people that are heroin addicts or prostitutes or drug addicts or sex addicts can grasp that God loves them unconditionally and begin to feel the presence through other people, that's when I see the greatest redemption and turnaround in people, because I've had so many men that I deal with that have been sexually abused, and Sheila Ray's husband goes into prisons and prison ministries and says, God loves you, and they break down. No one has ever told me that. My father never told me that. So it's just a wonderful thing that you guys are doing, ministering the love of God in people's lives. Now let's talk a little bit about the future of your recovery ministries. Are there any new plans for the future in terms of outreaching into surrounding communities?
Well,
might be a tough question.
Well, it's a hard question because my heart wants to do it all. And, you know, the practicality of being a father and a husband and an employee, you know, those things are reality. And I have to keep my ambitions down to a reality check all the time. I get excited about recovery programs. I get excited about sharing the gospel with men and women that don't know anything about God. That's my true desire. And, I mean, if I shared all my dreams here, we'd be here for another hour. But I just want to say that
I know you well enough.
Whatever God wants me to do in this regard, I'm willing to do it. And so I just have to make sure that the door, you know, that He's opened, you know, for us stays open. And when He opens up another one, we know when to go through it.
Yeah, I would agree. And you know, in terms of, you know, existing plans, you know, where do we see this going? What do we have? You know, we've got a lot of other options on that campus in Lynn. So I think at this point we're waiting on God to open those doors, and if He opens them, we'll go through them, right? And that kind of is a challenging thought because I don't have any more time to give, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of where we're all at. But you know what? If He opens the door, we've got to go through it. And we have to make that happen, no matter what has to give. And I think He will. I mean, He's working in the men's house over there. We're going to have to work out the timing issues and stuff like that. But there's a real opportunity there. And then there's other opportunities that we've discussed.
Please join us again right here next week on A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery, where we are all about renewing, rebuilding, and restoring lives one person at a time. I'm your host, John Broderick. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
We want to truly thank you for joining us here this morning. Please keep this wonderful and much-needed Christian Recovery Outreach Ministry bathed in your prayers. A new ministry's Christ Center Recovery is a listener-supported ministry that has made a difference in the lives of many individuals through Christ-centered recovery. One of the greatest things that you can do to help us to continue to serve others is to make a tax-deductible donation of any amount to a new ministry's Christ-centered recovery or by simply becoming a monthly supporter here at a new ministry's. You can make your tax-deductible gift online by visiting our website at www.anewministries.org, or you can simply write to us at a new ministry's Christ-centered recovery. That's 10 Micro Drive, Woburn, Mass. 01801. If you want to contact us directly here at A New Ministries, simply call us at 617-396-1095. Again, 617-396-1095. Join us again right here next time on A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery. Remember, with Christ in the center of your life, you can renew, rebuild, and restore. Come join us every Sunday for Celebrate Recovery at Christ Community Church located at 51 Walnut Street in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Don't label your recovery. Come and celebrate your recovery with the world's number one Christ-centered recovery ministry in the world. That's every Sunday afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. at Christ Community Church, 51 Walnut Street in Dorchester, Massachusetts. For more information, call John Broderick at 617-396-1099. That's John Broderick at 617-396-1095. Hope to see you there.